evening. Glad to have you a part of our Live at 5 sermon series. My name is Justin Reed. Honored as always to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at the base of Short Mountain here in Cannon County, God's County. We're 6 miles off of US 70 there at Short Mountain Road, and we will be on your left. If you ever have a chance to come out and visit with us, you would be our honored guest. So we invite you at any service that we are having. We are butting up right here at 5 o'clock, which means it is time for us to go live at 5. We are continuing this sermon series that we've been doing for quite some time now during the pandemic, and making sure that we're studying God's Word, being faithful to it, and also doing our best, our utmost, if you will, each and every day to live the life of a Christian. Tonight, I want us to look at a gentleman in the Old Testament. His name is Ezra. In fact, there's an entire book that bears his name, and I want us to learn a couple of things, if we can, with the time that we have here tonight, about Ezra. In fact, I have on the screen here, I've already got my Bible turned to Ezra, the 7th chapter. By the way, if you would share this video, that would be greatly appreciated. Help us get the word out. That way more people can learn, read, and understand God's Word. Ezra chapter 7, verse number 28 is where we'll be beginning our lesson here tonight. And hath extended mercy, talking about all the great things, a blessing to God, hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. I want us to look at Ezra tonight. Now, you and I both know that the Bible is filled with stories of people who live their lives under the influence of God. Historically speaking, we go back to 457 B.C. In 486 B.C., the Babylonians, God's people were carried away into Babylonian captivity. They start making three return treks. One was 486, one in 457. Ezra leads that one. We see roughly 80 years after the group, a man, a funny little name of Zerubbabel. He went to go rebuild the temple of God. Well, the mission of Ezra's group was to restore the people of God. Zerubbabel went to restore the house of God, and Ezra wanted to restore, it was his command, rather I should say, to restore the people of God. As we look at the book of Ezra, really the first 6 chapters deal with that work that Zerubbabel did, a great, much needed work there, restoring the temple, and then the last 4 chapters, or chapters 7 through 10, deal with Ezra's arrival, the great restoration that he brought. And in fact, if you wanted to sum up, especially the book of Ezra, and specifically those last 4 chapters, it would be this funny little phrase, that the hand of the Lord my... See, that's what happens when I type too soon. Should say God. The hand of the Lord my God, as we read here in 7:28, was upon me. We see that 6 times in 2 different chapters. Tonight, what I want us to do, we have 2 points that are easily outlined here in our lesson. I want us to look at, first and foremost, how the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra, and then why was the hand of the Lord upon Ezra. So, first and foremost, how exactly was God's hand upon Ezra? Now, he wasn't like holding his hand out, as it were, and keeping him from doing things. No, we're going to see that God's hand was there guiding Ezra through different points in his life. And we see this all begins in verse 6 of chapter 7 when he starts, first off, to receive requests from the king. This Ezra, he's been introduced here, went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. See, he's already a ready scribe. He's already doing what he ought to be doing. Artaxerxes, this is the king. And we see some things. Watch this. He allowed him, verses 12 and 13, to go to Jerusalem. Artaxerxes, the king of kings, said unto Ezra, a priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace at such a time. I make a decree, all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. So normally, a king would not let his own people travel to a place such as Jerusalem, let alone as they were looked upon as foreigners, people who had been plucked out of their homeland, thrown into this strange land. First, he lets them go to Jerusalem. Verse 14 through 17, they get to take silver to buy animals to sacrifice. As much as thou art sent of the king of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, to carry the silver and gold the king and his counselors have offered freely unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is there in Jerusalem, all the silver and gold thou can find in the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. Thou may buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, to offer them upon the altar of your God, which is in Jerusalem. Not only would a king let them go, he definitely wouldn't give them money to sacrifice to some other god. He also said, buy whatever you need, whatsoever shall seem good to thee, to thy brethren, do with the rest of the gold and the silver, after the will of your God. That's just summing up. We see verse 23, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and of his sons? They say, buy whatever you need left over after you've bought the animals you need to sacrifice. Oh, by the way, they're also going to be free from taxation. We're not going to take our lion's share back. Verse 24. We certify you, touching any of the priests, the Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. So, not only is he giving them leave, not only is he giving them money, not only is he giving them a free blank check, he says, and you're not going to have to pay taxes on anything that you buy. You show them this certificate that has my name, my signature at the bottom, you won't be taxed. So he sets up judges and magistrates over God's people. Well, he wouldn't normally allow that either. And we see, as we were just reading in our lesson text there at the end of verse 28, he says, and the only reason, Ezra speaking, that this happened is because God's hand was there. Artaxerxes on his own would not, more likely than not, have allowed this to happen. But the hand of God is upon Ezra. He also found servants for the temple. Go with me to chapter 8 and verse 15 as the story continues. I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Avaha. There abode we in tents 3 days, viewed the people and the priest, and found there none of the sons of Levi. So they're prepared to leave. He can't find any of the sons of Levi. So he sends for them Eliezer, Ariel, this long list of names, men of understanding, verse 16 says. And I sent them with commandments to Ido, the chief at the palace Cephasia. And I told them what they should say unto Ido and to his brethren, the Nethinims, the place of Cephasia, and they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. So he sends some people who will go with them because they're looking for people to serve in God's house. And notice this, by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of the sons of Mali, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, Sherebiah with the sons and his brothers 18. And we see more of the Nethinims. What is wonderful here, they find a total of 38 Levites, 220 Nethinim to assist them. Now you may be saying, well, why is it important to be Levi? Only those of the tribe of Levi could be priests. Only those the family of Aaron could be the high priest. He couldn't find any priest. He couldn't find any people to serve. So he has to go out and find some. And he finds these servants. And by God's hand, there's an abundance. But we see the hand of the Lord was also upon Ezra as he was providing him a safe journey to Jerusalem. They proclaim a fast at the river of Abaha that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek unto him a right way for us and for our little ones and all our sustenance. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because he had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted, and we besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. God's hand is with them, by they decide they need to go back to Jerusalem, and so they proclaim a fast. They're ashamed to ask for a military escort, but we see that God's hand is there. 31:32, they return safely. We departed from the river of Avaha on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy. And of such is lie in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem, bode there 3 days. See, when you would travel back in biblical times, you needed a military escort, really, if you had a large group, because people would be seeing, well, look, here's a large group of people. They're easy targets. I could just pick them off to the left and to the right. God's hand is with them. God does not allow any hurt to come to them. We see from the beginning to the end, the hand of the Lord is upon Ezra. Why is his hand there? And what can we learn? I'm glad you asked, because that's our second point for tonight. We've looked at how, just summing it up, really, I would encourage you to do a more in-depth study, but in the 30 or so minutes we have allotted for our Live at 5 series, I would not be doing the book justice, nor would I be doing you the justice you need to study this book. So study it on your own accord, of course. But point number two is why the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. We've looked at how, now let's look at why. Go back to chapter 7. Verses 9, and really verse 10, I would say, is the key. It's the key to Ezra, really. It's so much. Let's read it and I'll tell you. Upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. First day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra, watch this. Number one, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He made himself, as we see Paul telling Timothy to do, 2 Timothy 2:21, he made himself useful for the master. You may know, you may not know, but on Thursday mornings when everything is right, I have the privilege to go speak at Boyd Christian School. I went there first through 11th grade, so it's always nice to go back and speak. And this is my second year speaking. And I speak in chapel every week to the kindergarten to the fifth graders. And I love it. It is a highlight of my week to be in worship where these young, I mean young men, lead us in prayer. And they'll read a scripture and we'll sing some songs together. Then I get to tell them a Bible story. And oh, I love it so. 2 weeks ago, the only verse I used was Ezra 7 and verse 10, because I said, even you in kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade can get this. And if I thought they can get it, friends, I'm sure we can get it tonight as well. Ezra, number one, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Number two, Ezra sought the Lord. Number three, Ezra did what the Lord said. And number four, friends, Ezra taught it to others. You get that mini lesson here? Number one, Ezra prepared. Ezra was ready to hear what God had said. Number two, Ezra did. Ezra sought out to find what the Lord had said. Number three, Ezra did what God had said. And then number four, friends, Ezra did not let that die with him. Ezra told other people. He sought the Lord. To seek the law of the Lord. He wanted to know what God had said. And then he wants to put it in practice. Now notice, he believed that God would be with him. And he would be with those who seek him. Go back to verse 8 and 20, chapter 8, 22. Midway through he says, this I had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So he believed God would be with those who are looking for him. He entreated for God's protection. You familiar with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6? For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that believeth, or he that comes in, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what the Hebrew writer says, friends. When the Hebrew writer is talking about what is faith, Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, here he says, any of those must come to him in faith, for he knows that those that are looking for him are seeking after him. Ezra believed this, friends, do you? Ezra prepared himself. Ezra sought the Lord. Ezra did. Ezra did what God had commanded for him to do. And in doing so, Ezra was willing to step out in faith. He's willing, if he's here and faith is over here, he's willing to make that step. He's willing to go out on a limb, if you will. Go back to 8 and 32, as they're on this perilous journey, they came to Jerusalem. They began this perilous journey, and they wind up where they're going. Why? Verse 31, because the hand of the Lord was upon them. Now, had God told Ezra what to do? Yes. Could Ezra have sat back and crossed his hands and sat there, leaned back in his easy chair and twiddled his thumbs and said, well, that's really good, God. I'm glad that you told me what to do. Well, he could have, but he wouldn't have been pleasing to God. He wouldn't have been delivered. He wouldn't have even gone on that journey, friends. Ezra was willing to step out in faith. Ezra illustrates for us something, if you'll hold your place here in Ezra, something that James illustrates perfectly, is also illustrated perfectly in the life of Ezra, in that Ezra had a living and a working faith. James 2 and 17, he says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Jump on down. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, you'll meet people in the religious world, sincere people, people who mean well, and they'll say, all you've got to have is faith only. And they'll say, well, faith only is in the Bible. Well, it is. If you go to verse 24, you see that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Friends, we must have more than faith in our lives to be pleasing to God. The best illustration I have ever seen or heard, and I borrowed this from somebody who borrowed it. I don't know who came up with it. But imagine that you are out in the middle of a lake and you're in a rowboat all by yourself. And in the one hand, you have faith, and in the other hand, you have works. And I'm not just saying the words, but you have an oar that represents faith and an oar that represents works, friends. And so, if you want to go in a circle to the left, all you have is faith, because you're just going to be working that one oar, and you're just going to go in a circle. And you can do that all day long, having faith only, and that's fine and dandy if all you want to do is make a circle. And you say, okay, I don't want to have faith only, I just want to do works only. So you take that right oar, and you start going, and you think, boy, this is great, I'm not making a left circle. You're right, you're making a right circle. Friends, the only way to move forward is to have faith and works. Faith and works. Faith and works. That's how you propel forward. We must have faith. We must have works. Ezra had faith. Ezra has works because Ezra did. Ezra prepared. Ezra sought. Ezra did. He was willing to step out in faith. Something else I want us to notice, though. Ezra was willing to face difficult situations. The hand of the Lord is going to be with him again. But he's going to have to face some things that, let's just be honest, I'd rather not have faced if it weren't me. Go with me to Ezra 9 in the first two verses. Now when these things were done, the princes came unto me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests, the Levites, they have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, Egyptians, and the Amorites. They have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers has been chief in the trespasses. So you got to remember, God told his people, when you go into the foreign land, when you go into the promised land, don't be taking their family for your family. Don't be intermarrying with them. Why? God wanted to keep his people separate. What have they done? They've intermixed and mingled with Gentile men and women. And it says their rulers were some of the worst. They were some of the most vile. And so notice chapter 9, verses 3 through 15, he is moved to fasting and to prayer. When Ezra heard this, he tore his garment and his mantle. He plucked off, he pulled out his hair and pulled out his beard, and he sat down. He was astonished, or he's astonished. Then they were assembled unto me, every one that trembled at the words of God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. I sat astonished or astonished until the evening sacrifice. He just could not believe it. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, from my guiltiness, from my sorrow, from my affliction. And I tore off my garment. I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. And I said, O my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head. Our trespass is grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers, we have been a great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to the spoil, to the confusion of face, as it is this day. Now for a little space grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Verse 10, and now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters to their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong, and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children forever. After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, for our great trespass, seeing that our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, given us such deliverance as this, should we break again thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us? There should be no remnant for escaping. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. We remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses. We cannot stand before thee because of this. He's fasting. He's praying. He is sorrowful. But the last verses I really want us to look at, Ezra accepted the responsibility that was his. Chapter 10, the first 8 verses. Now when Ezra had prayed, when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women, children, for the people wept very sore. And Shaniakah, the son of Jethel, one of the sons of Elam, answered to Ezra and said, we have trespassed against our God, and we have taken strange wives of the people of this land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such that are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and those that tremble at the commandment of our God, let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra, made the chief priests, the Levites, all Israel, to swear they would do according to this word, and they swear. And Ezra rose up from the house before the house of God, went to the chamber of Johan, the son of Eliashib. When he came hither, he did not eat bread, he didn't drink water. He mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. They made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem and all the children of the captivity. They should gather themselves unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and elders, his substance should be forfeited, and he should be separated from the congregation of them that are carried away. What's happened? They're accepting responsibility. Ezra says, it shouldn't have happened. I shouldn't have let this happen. And the other people are like, we shouldn't have let this happen either. He was encouraged by those willing to repent, and this led the people to a great restoration. As a side lesson, here's a great sign. They were in sin, but they knew that to be pleasing to God, they needed to not be in certain relationships. And you'll meet people who say, well, I'm in an adulterous relationship, but I can obey the gospel and everything could be fine. Now, if it was fine, then why did they say they're going to give back their wives and their children and no longer be married to them, no longer be a part of that family? Must come out of that sin. Friends, Ezra did not let the emotionally charged issue deter him from serving God. Now, that would have been easy. See all this intermarrying, see all this stuff God said not to. It would have been really easy to go, that is your problem. I'm not going to see it. If I don't see it, I don't know about it. If I don't know about it, I don't feel bad for it. No. He prays to God. He sees this and it upsets him. How was the hand of the Lord upon Ezra? Well, he prepared himself. He sought the Lord. He was willing to step out in faith, friends, and he was willing to face these difficult situations. Now, Ezra's not the only person who experienced things like this. Nehemiah did. Stories told there in 1 Samuel 5, 6, etc. But we're studying about Ezra tonight. Remember the four things from Ezra 7 and verse 10. Ezra prepared. Ezra sought. Ezra did. Ezra taught. It kind of rhymes. Ezra prepared. Ezra sought. Ezra did. Ezra taught. You can say it with me if you want to. Ezra prepared. Ezra sought. Ezra did. And Ezra taught. Friends, what about for us? Go back. We need to prepare ourselves to seek the Lord. We need to be wanting to find Him. You know, Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord while He is near. He's there. He's waiting for you, friends. Number two, we must seek after the Lord. He's not going to come thump you on the head or put something in you, and a miraculous in your heart. He doesn't put in anybody else's. He speaks to us through His Word today, friends. We need to seek the Lord. We need to be willing to act upon that. We need to be willing to step out in faith. And lastly, we need to be willing to face some difficult situations. You know, the world's a difficult place to live in right now, but I got to tell you what, it was a difficult place to live in before a pandemic happened because of sin. Sin will always make the world to be a difficult place. I hope this lesson from Ezra, I know we sped through the latter part of the book. I'd encourage you to go back and study it more in depth so you can get these lessons, understand. It's a great book, great story. If you want a copy of these notes online, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources, or you can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible, R-E-E-D, and click on the Bible Resources page. It's real easy to find. Just scroll down about 3/4 of the way to the page. Look for the sermons. They're alphabetical, E-Z-R-A, and the PowerPoint's there as well. Our next scheduled study will be Wednesday night. We should be in Acts 22, I believe. I don't have those notes in front of me, but just take my word for it. If the good Lord permits us, still be here at Wednesday night, 6:30. And this week, everything is posted here on the church's page, as you've noticed. So just be looking for that here on the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ. If you're watching this on my page, I will be sharing it. Don't worry. There's a blank spot. Thursday's Thanksgiving, so Bill and I will not be having a Thursday night Bible study. We'll be with our families. My father-in-law, so I'll be with him. Please join us again Sunday morning 11 in the building. That is our plan. I do hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. I ask that, once again, you'd please share this lesson that others can learn. The four simple lessons, one more time, from Ezra 7:10. Ezra prepared, Ezra sought, Ezra did, and Ezra taught. I hope that that's helpful to you. And like I said, please share this. And thank you for being a part of our study. And we look forward to studying again on Wednesday night. I'll end this video the same way I've ended every lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. And thank you for watching.